in each every church, not only here in America, even in my country where I come from, people always tend to avoid the front seat. And today you're living the gospel, because in the gospel, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, or he's telling the scribes and the Pharisees, because they like sitting in the front seat. Once they go to the market, they want to be called big names. But Christ is telling them, humble yourself, so that once they call you, you can take the front seat. And actually, you're doing that, because I see the front seat, there's nobody who is sitting in the front seat, unless you're being called and being told, do what? Come and sit in front. In my community, where I come from, they are saying that once somebody comes to your house and asks for a glass of water, when somebody knocks your door and says, please, will you mind helping me with water? It's a sign of telling us that that man is hungry. That man wants something to eat. It's not what he's asking. He's telling you that I want something to eat. But in our current society now, if somebody knocks at your door and tells you, I want water, what will you give him? You'll give him water, because that's what you asked for. You didn't say that you want food. If you say that you want food, I'll give you food. In today's reading, especially the first reading, Elijah goes to this poor widow. We don't know, because we presume that she's a widow, because there's no any part that a man has been mentioned. And we presume that this woman is a widow. And he tells this widow, can I get a glass of water? Can I get a glass of water? And in the process of this lady getting a glass of water, he adds, can I get a baked bread? Out of humility, out of submission, and out of self-sacrifice, this lady tells Elijah, I've got only a small portion of flour that is there, and I know this is what he wanted to use between me and my son, then wait for death. But she removed whatever small she had, and she had to share with Elijah. So Christ today is telling us, how much do we have and how much are we willing to share with one another? In the gospel, you find that I found a sort of contradiction, and yesterday I was telling the deacon, I don't still understand. Why is it that Christ is telling the community, this poor widow who have given only 2 pennies has given much than the whole group were giving large sums of money. But there's something peculiar that Christ was looking at. Christ wasn't looking at the size of your pocket. Christ wasn't looking at what amount of money that you're giving out. Christ was looking, how are you giving it out? Are you giving out wholeheartedly? Are you giving it out sacrificingly? Or are you giving it out only to show people that you have it? How many times in our life, especially in our community, sometimes we have it, but you don't want to give it. Sometimes we have it, but we find it so much hard to support our church, to support our community, to support our brothers and sisters who need our help. We don't do that. In the Jewish community, the temple was the source of their livelihood. And during that time, it was during the construction of the temple. And you find within the rules and regulations of the Jewish community, the widows and the poor, the lame, were exempted from the temple tax, were exempted to give anything to the church because they were very poor. Then they had a community who had everything, then they were supposed to contribute to the temple. Because first of all, temple could offer employment, the whole community around. Secondly, temple was the source of worship. But you find now, This poor widow, even though she has been exempted from anything in the temple, but she goes an extra mile to contribute the 2 pennies she had for the temple. That's why Christ is saying that. You see that poor woman? Do you see that poor lady? She has contributed more than anybody else. So we are being called today as Christian. We're being called today as a community. Do you give generously? Do you contribute to the church generously? How many times we have it, but you don't want to contribute? How many times that we have it, but we can spend so much on other stuffs which are not important to our life? But what is so much important in our lives, we don't want to spend on it. How much are you going to contribute? I was telling my community, okay, I'm sorry, because in my country, when I'm preaching, I always like moving around. And when it comes to preaching within my language, I know it much better, but I'm trying in English. When it comes to offertory, as I was telling my community, people will always give the smallest part when it comes to contribution to the church. And in the means of contribution to the church, it is always, okay, give whatever you have. Whatever small you have, bring it to God. Whatever big you have, bring it to God. But you find that those who will always tend to bring to the church, they will always bring the meek one, the less important one, because they don't need it. It's out of surplus. The best one she had, she said, no, I don't think I'll give it this. If it's extra, I say, okay, why don't you take the extra one to the church so that it can feed the community, it can feed the poor, it can be distributed to the community that they need it more. But you find that God is telling you, or God is telling us, why are you giving me the weak one? Why are you giving me out of surplus? Have you given it out from your heart because you find that, okay, this is what I need to give to the community, and then I'm giving it wholeheartedly and willingly. That's why you find that in the gospel, this poor widow, she had nothing, but she gave what she had. But the other part of the community, even though they had it, they gave out of surplus. They gave it out of surplus. That's why Christ is telling us today, leave it, let it go. And that's the beginning of the blessing, is the beginning of your prosperity, and is the beginning of your life changing. How many times do we hold on so much to the point that we forget to get the blessing that we desired, but we keep on holding to the point that nothing is being opened in our house? In each and every day, you will complain to God, God, I've been praying to you. I've been asking for your help. But there's nothing happening to myself. There's nothing happening to my house. Because of what? You hold so much, you don't let it go. Unless you let it go, you have it within you, but you don't want to let it go. I was telling people yesterday, there's a common saying about if you want to trap a monkey. It's very easy. Very easy. You can get a basket, get whatever you want to use it to trap a monkey, get a mango, or a banana. Once you see the monkey there, show the monkey. This is a banana or this is the mango. After showing the monkey, then remove it and put it in the basket. Then go. Once you come back, you will get there. Once you get there, because first of all, the hole it used to inside his hand, when it comes to pulling out, it won't come out. And that's the best way now you can trap the monkey. Because it won't do what? It won't let go. It won't let go. It will struggle as much as struggles, but it won't do what? It won't let go. That's what Christ is telling us. We have everything, but we don't want to do what? We don't want to let go. Unless we let go, that's the time we'll be free. Unless we let go, that's the time the blessing that we need from God will always be there. Even on 20th of January, 2010, there was an earthquake in Haiti. And you find, okay, they came to the whole world asking for help. And you find that the contribution from the Americans supporting the Haitians, it was so much greater than the contribution the Americans themselves contributed towards helping those who were affected by the hurricane. And people are asking, okay, is it that we care so much about the other person, but we fail to care so much about our own? That was the question. Why is it that we fail to help our own who had a lot of problems, but we help those ones who needed so much? Why? It's how they came in asking for help. It's how they requested that this is what we are going through. We are dying. We are suffering. But we ask you for help. But within ourselves, even though we are suffering, but you don't come out and say, I'm suffering, I'm dying. You just say, I'm okay. You're okay and you're dying. I'm okay. You're okay and you're suffering. Just say, I'm suffering. I need help. I need help. And that's what Christ is telling us today. Helping the poor and the needy is not from outside. Even within ourselves, we have got the poor and the needy. Within our own community, we have the poor and the needy. You don't know about your neighbor. She's suffering. She's sickly. She needs something to eat. She needs your help. So how many times have we gone an extra mile of going and helping your neighbor or brothers and sisters? Unless the church community says, okay, within your community, go and identify which family needs some help. That's what you've been doing. Within your church outside there, there's a pantry, isn't it? There's a food pantry. What is that food pantry for? Is it to feed the priest in the house? Hello? Is it to help the priest here? No, it's to help the poor and the needy. That's where you find that each and every time the priest will say, okay, go outside and look for those who are needy so that we can contribute whatever we have. Help the poor and the needy. So to mean that the church takes an extra mile of going and looking for the poor and the needy. What about you as a Christian? What about you as a Christian? Where's your Christianity? That's what I always tell people. Let your Christianity not be in the mouth. Let your Christianity be from the heart. Be a Christian from the heart, not a Christian from the mouth.